Our reading is found on page 214, and it's Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 to 15. It's headed, "The Sun Stands Still." And I must say, apologies to Azar for the pronunciations of some of the words. Now, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. He and his people were very much alarmed at this, because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were good fighters. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhiah, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Eglon. "Come up and help me attack Gibeon," he said, "because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites." Then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us." So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon, and along the road going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so honored and blessed to be with you this morning, you know, and thank you for the nice weather you prepared for me. I actually was running away from a bad weather in Israel. It has been a very rainy winter, and as I was leaving Israel yesterday, rain started, but they're saying that there's snow coming into Israel. Unusual, but it's not everywhere, so it's bad weather everywhere. And so may God help us to go through this change of nature that we're experiencing. I bring special greetings to all of you from different groups back in Nazareth, from my family. I think 15 years ago, all of them came to church here. We have had a trip and spent a whole week in Hartford and attended the church here. Now the boys are grown up. Two of them are living in Germany, studying in Germany. One just finished his studies, but he's planning to continue. And the other one just started his studies. Khalil is my oldest. Wasim is my middle son. And my youngest is at home with us. And a special greetings from my wife, Ibtisam, especially for those who know her. And also special greetings from the college where I'm ministering, and from the staff and the faculty. And special greetings from the church in Nazareth, local Baptist church. So all of these groups sending their love and greetings to Hartford Baptist Church. And I'll be sharing the Word of God with you, I'll actually intending to bring illustrations from our ministry, so that would help you to understand what God is doing back in Nazareth and through the college. But I, of course, will be relating to them, to the text here, of course. And it's a challenging text that that we have here. I mean, it's when I got this text, I was thinking, what can I share about this text? But then start thinking of and praying and asking God to help me look through it in a special way. I'd like to say that this text is, the whole book actually of Joshua, I need to get my, is a book that speaks about the generation that went into the promised land. So we're speaking about a generation that experiencing God's promise and the way they enjoyed the entrance or having the what God promised them to have. And this generation, actually, that went in with Joshua into the promised land, we can call them the generation of faith. And it is a generation that moved from the desert into the land. And as we're looking, moving forward in faith, this is a generation that moved forward in faith and experienced and got and enjoyed the promised land. So as we think about this passage, we're thinking about moving forward in faith. This is what I think this passage could relate or can relate to it in this way. And it happens that I recently, last semester, I was teaching the book of Hebrew. And in fact, I always thrilled when I'm teaching and interacting in class with our future pastors and leaders, where our students are not young in their age, and these people who are ministering already, they are in ministry, whether as pastors or as preparing to be pastors or leaders in other ministry that they're going to do. Doing that, interacting with them in general, gives me real hope and joy. Looking at these people who are going to serve God, I always think, what kind of encouragement I should invest in their lives. And one of the major things that comes to mind is faith. How can I encourage them to live in faith and move forward in faith? And as we were studying the book of Hebrew, of course, we also looked at chapter 11 that speaks about faith. And in this chapter, we I'm not going to go through this chapter, but it's just kind of a couple of things that will prepare the ground for us to look at the text in the book of Joshua. When we looked at this few characteristics of faith that we need to look at, in order to understand how this kind of faith worked in the life of the Israelites as they entered the land and how they practiced this faith in this exact story that we read in the book of Joshua. So the first thing The first thing that it's obvious when we read about the faith, about faith in the book of Hebrews, that faith is not, it's more than, yes, I think it is true. It's more than that. It's not enough to think that we have enough money in the bank but not using it if we need. Some people has stored a lot of money, but they had it. They believed it's true, but they were not, for example, able to use it, or did not dare to use it. So this did not help them. Faith is actually, it's a strong confidence in what is said that turned into actions and behavior. So when we speak about faith in general, we speak about trust, that this trust leads us to take practical steps in our lives. Trust that changes our behavior, not only our convictions, but also our behavior. It is faith that we trust God and we God's person, and we base our behavior on His word and His character. So this is a very obvious issue when we speak about faith. This is what God requires us to have when we ask us to have faith in Him. But it's also, faith has another character which is very important, and I will call it a progressive. Faith is progressive. It develops. It starts with personal, goes to our bigger circle, goes to our nation, goes beyond our nation. And these issues are clear, very clear, when we read the book of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. For example, when we look at the first circle, I would call it, of faith, we look at the faith that we call it a personal faith, our relation with God. The issue of faith starts with our relation with God. It's first, how do I build my relation with God? It's a personal step. It's not only a congregational faith. It's also a personal life. It's a personal faith. And great example of this faith, it's the faith of Abel. By faith, it's written, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. So the first step of faith does not start with having a congregational faith or a church faith or a nation-level faith. It starts, our faith in God starts as a personal thing. God looks for each one of us and encourages us to have the right relation with him. And this is what happened in the desert, that these people that experienced, each one of these people, it's amazing that each one of these, this group of the Israelites that experienced God's favor, they did not have enough faith to lead them in the promised land. They perished in the desert. And God was looking for a new generation, that each one of them will build a confidence, a trust in God, a trust that will lead him to behave according to God's will in each aspect of his life, at home, at work, at church, a faith that where a person gets his strength from his Lord and behave. So this is the first level step of faith, that we can see the second level of faith, which that when we take our personal faith and bring it to our wider circle, our families, maybe our church, but it's a wider circle. And a great example we see also in the book of Hebrews is the faith of Noah. Actually, the people around, the whole nation, they actually mocked Noah. They did not believe that what he's saying about the coming of judgment and the need of repentance. It's a true thing. They rejected his message and they rejected him, actually. But Noah had followers. The book of Hebrews tells us that he built the ark that and to save his family. So he had some people who believed in him. His influence was clear on his family. So that this is another circle of faith that God is actually expecting from us. It's not to keep the faith only as a personal thing that we keep it kind of between us and God, but it's to bring it to our wider circles, whether it's our family or narrow family or wider family or it's our church. It's a group that we influence, that group that they know us, as Andrew said, they know us very well, and they're assured that there is a change in our life, and this change is because our walk with Christ, and the influence come to this circle. So we require to have a personal faith of God, but also we require to share this with our wider family. And the third one, that first that the book of Hebrews speaks about, actually, if you go home and read the chapter 11 of the from the book of Hebrews, and you look at how the writer is developing circles of faith. He starts with personal people. He starts with family, and he could not about Noah only. Also, we can see the family of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the way Abraham's faith influenced his whole family. But he goes on to Moses. A faith, and in Moses we can read about a faith, of course, that started personally. He affected and had an influence on his circles, like his brothers, his sister, but also eventually his faith had a greater influence than that. His faith had an influence on the whole nation. Just look at this, how God reminding us that our faith, it can grow and influence more than what we think we should can influence. Exactly how we see that the example of Moses, that a personal faith have developed and influenced others in his family, especially in Aaron, but that got beyond that, and a great influence we can see in the life of on the whole nation of the Israel. This is the faith that God wants us to have, actually. It's not only a faith that Moses had, it's a faith that everyone that God wants to, our personal faith to develop and have a greater influence on a wider group of people. And let me bring some example from the Nazareth Evangelical College, actually. When we started 15 years ago, we didn't know what to expect, actually. But we were convinced that God is calling us to start this ministry to prepare future pastors and leaders. And at that time, I remember exactly the challenges we had. And one of the leaders of the college asked me, "Do you think that we'll have enough students?" Now, in Israel, we're very small as Christians, small in numbers. Actually, as evangelicals, we are a minority within a minority, within a minority. And to be realistic, we cannot expect big numbers of students. And I remember answering him, I said, it's not important what is the number of students that we'll have. What is important for us is to look 10 years after we started the college and see that those students that we trained are really serving God in their churches.
And so we took a step of faith. We didn't know, I mean, is it worth it? Is it worth it, all the efforts, all the budgets, all that, the time? But 10 years after that, or 15 years after that, I look back, and I want to remember this step of faith that started as a small group of people, and see how it developed. I could say that in Israel, there is 40 evangelical churches total, not only Baptist churches. In our area, in the Galilee area and Haifa area, northern part of Israel, we have 36 churches in total. Now, 20 pastors who are ministering in these 36 churches are graduates of the college. It started with a question, is it worth it? To a point that we are 50%, more than 50% of the pastors that serve in churches, there are other graduates who are serving in a chaplain at the hospital, teachers at the school, leading ministers as Bible society or student movement. God was so faithful to us as we took a little step of faith. Not that only. We started with small classes, but in the last 5 years, God opened the doors for us to have what I call a leadership training. Once a year, we have people who come, not only pastors and leaders, but also from the wider community, that come to participate in a special conference that we have about leadership. All this started with a small step of faith. Now, the good news, and maybe the bad news for some, that with any step of faith we take, God puts in front of us another one. With any step of faith that we take, God put in front of us another one that usually requires actually a greater amount of faith. As we read in this chapter of Joshua now has to fight not only for his nation, but also for others too, for the Gibeonites. As I recall the circles, what I call the circles of faith, I started to say it's personal. It's our people, you know, it's our small family, or then it's our nation. But then what we see here is another level of faith that required that Joshua has to fight for others too. He needs to go out of the box of the nation of Israel and think about, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a support? How can I really stand with the people that are not the promised people of God? How can I be a blessing to them? It's a faith that goes broadly to change and to heal the lives of others. This is something that we are required as Christians. Actually, this is exactly what we read in the book of Acts, the first chapter of the book of Acts, and when Jesus tells the disciples that they will receive a power when they get the Holy Spirit, and they will be a witness in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then the whole earth. And this is, and when we go through reading the book of Acts, we'll see that at least the first six or seven chapters of the book of Acts, that we see that the disciples, although they heard God's promise to them that with receiving the Holy Spirit, also they will get a power to minister to others and should minister to others. They focused ministering only among their own people. And what we see in chapter 8, actually, that God was pushing them to go out. That happens with persecution. And actually the death of Stephen and the persecution And we read that people start leaving because of the persecution. But as they went out, they brought the good news for others people, for other people too. So God is expecting us to take this, our faith, and think about others too. And everyone, I mean, the others for me is probably different than the others, few, but I'm aware that you at Hartford Baptist Church are thinking about others, you know, whether they are in the country here or in other countries too, how we can be a blessing. And this is the faith that God actually is expecting from us. This is the faith that he's challenging us. And this is exactly what we read in this chapter, in the 15th chapter of the book of Joshua, that Joshua is called to do something he was not required to do. God, when he called him in the first chapter, he called him to lead the Israelites into the land, to fight for them. But now, we see that this is expanding. This is going beyond what he expected, actually. But Joshua was faithful to take God's call and to think beyond his nation for the others, or the Gibeonites. And actually, this is the whole message was. Actually, this is the promise that Abraham received in the book of Genesis, that through his seeds, I mean, a blessing will come for all people, all nations. It's not only about us. It's about God's call for us to be a blessing for everyone. A well-known story in the Bible, the story of Jonah. God asked Jonah to go to Iraq, for what we call now, Nineveh. And Jonah did not want to do that. These people are not his nation. And actually, they're classified as the enemies of God's nation. They are the Gentiles. And he's not willing to serve them. And you know the whole story of Jonah. But in the end, Jonah tells God why he didn't want in the beginning to go. He said, I knew that you are a merciful God. You will forgive them. As Jonah was telling God, I did not want you to forgive these people. I want you to punish them. But God actually telling him and teaching him about his mercy, about his vision, that the message that God's people have to be spread to save others. And here what we see, that Joshua had the opportunity to save the lives of others. People who God's called him to help. 100 years ago, when the ministry of the evangelical or the Baptist and the other evangelical churches started in Israel, the people who arrived or started to minister, they had a very difficult time. I will not say that they were persecuted physically, but they were rejected. They were rejected by the whole Christian community. And a lot of kind of verbal attacks, and sometimes a pressure on the people who joined these churches came out from the Orthodox Church. And during these years, kind of enmity was established between the evangelical church and what we call the traditional churches. A 100 years of fight, a family fight, of rejection. 4 years ago, two Orthodox priests came to the college and said that we would like to study with you. We were surprised, actually. And we told them, but you're aware, we're evangelicals here, we're not Orthodox. They said, yeah, we know about that, but we want to learn from you about how we can love the Word of God, how we can take it as a mission, understand our theology in a deeper way. How can we really learn from your testimony, learn how to be a better ministers? 100 years, God is challenging us to serve people that actually did, and still some of them, attacking us and marginalizing us. On the 15th of January this year, we had a graduation. Two of the people you can see in the front with the big crosses, two Orthodox priests, are graduating from Nazareth Evangelical College. And not that only. I mean, I wish I could bring the atmosphere that they invited many of their church members. And it was a celebration time. It was, for us, it was a time when God is calling us, as did with Joshua, to fight for the others. Although our focus all the time was with our evangelical circles and Baptist circles, but now God is calling us to build a bridge and reach for the others too. 3 months ago, I got a phone from a friend of mine who's ministering among the refugees among the Syrian refugees in Turkey and Greece. And he said, there are some of these people who are already forming churches, but they have zero training. They don't have any training. They need someone to help them to understand the Bible. How can they preach it? How they can teach it? And we're still in the process of continuing this, but we went and for me and my colleague for a week to explore this land. And it was an amazing experience. Looking at these guys, you can see myself and the one with the red shirt also is my colleague Nabil. But we're having having five people sitting with us, studying with us. They are people from one from Syria, the one to the right side of the picture, the one opposite to him with the glasses from Iraq, another guy from Syria, and the man and his wife from Iran. Now, we did not think about it when we started the ministry at Nazareth Evangelical College. It's not our narrow circles of churches. There are people who are calling us to help. These are three different countries. All of these people are convert Muslims, none of them Christian. Our visit to Istanbul, we met a whole group of Christians who converted from Islam. All of them are Kurds. We had 4 days of training at this house. Some of them sitting at the floor, some at some chairs, but it's an opportunity when God calls us to do something that we did not think about it when we took our first step of faith, you know. We did not think about that. But as you're faithful in every step you're walking with God, God will open another door. And another door. And another door. And it ends with this kind of a global thing that there is a way that I can bless even people that I don't know. I didn't minister to them before, but God is calling me to be a blessing to them. Now, as we read the story in Joshua is fighting. He's in the middle of helping this group, but he needs more time. There's need for more time. Now, what does that mean? That a longer day, he wanted a longer day. A longer day means more work and perseverance. A longer day means that we need more sacrificial actions. A longer day means that we're ready to follow God, even if it requires more efforts from us. A longer day means that we want to fulfill the task that God is calling us. And Joshua was telling God, I want to be part of it, a longer day. Give me a longer day. I want to fulfill your calling for me. It's difficult. It's not easy. Sometimes when we're following God, we feel that we're tired, you know, and God is opening another door or asking us to do another thing, and you know, and it needs more time and more thoughts and more energy from us. But you know what? When God asks us to do that, to do so, He gives us the strength to do that. He leads us and works through us. It's not easy. It's challenging. But God is with us as we're following His voice and obeying His words. It's amazing verse that we read, that was read about that there has never been a day like that, like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. As we're trying to imagine the scene there, Joshua, as I said, was willing to do God's call and fulfill God's calling for his life. He crossed the boundaries of nationalism. He crossed the boundaries of enmity between him and other nations, and he was willing to serve others. And he says, I need more time. He was not fighting for himself, he was fighting for the Lord and for the others. And he said, God, I want more time. I want to fulfill the task. And God, and what Joshua writes to us here, has been never a day like this before, where God is glorified. There's never a day like this when God is glorified through what we're doing for Him, fulfilling the task that He's asking us to do. Has been no day like it, like that before, that human scene. Now, what about you? What about you? I mean, this is a story that happened in the past, but the Lord of this story is still alive, and he can go on with every step we take. Help you to fulfill and do greater things, as he said, in your life, the life of your family, the life of your church, the life of your nation, and others too. But are you ready for this step? Are you ready to say, God, I want to take this step of faith, and follow you and do what you're calling me to do? It is challenging, yes. It's hard, yes. It is sometimes too much, yes. But in every step, in every step of obedience, every step of faith that we take in God, God is there to help us, to strengthen us, and give us joy and peace. May God help all of us to be such people that we're willing to go through these steps of faith and willing to put ourselves for the sake of others, that they might experience the love and salvation of Christ. Amen.